Good morning, lifers. Wait, I don't think I heard that. Good morning, lifers.
Good morning.
Oh, that's better. Happy New Year to all of you. Happy 2021. Let's get right into the word today. Today I want to talk to you about Jesus people on purpose. Jesus people on purpose. Many of you have read the book, The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. It's a popular book. It's a classic. And in that book, there is an uncle whose name is Screwtape. And he's mentoring his nephew. His nephew is named Wormwood. And this is not a typical uncle-nephew relationship. For you see, Screwtape and Wormwood are demons. And the book is written from the perspective of how to try to keep Christians from fulfilling their purpose. And so Screwtape is mentoring his nephew Wormwood, who has been given charge over a Christian, to try to keep that Christian from fulfilling his purpose. And so Screwtape is mentoring him and trying to instruct him, this is what you need to do in order to get your Christian to fail, to get that person to not fulfill his purpose and not be able to give God glory in everything he does. How he does this is mainly through distraction. Screwtape counsels Wormwood to say, you know, sometimes make him feel he's doing the right thing. Keep him busy with all kinds of activity. It's okay if it's even religious activity. Just keep him busy and keep him distracted from the true purpose of which the enemy or God has called him to fulfill. Distraction. You know, church, I really feel that the year of 2020 has been a year of distraction. Now, there's been plenty of good things that have happened in 2020. I'm sure if we really looked through all of the brush of distraction, we can find a lot of good that came out of this year. For me, the one thing that pops, you know, really clearly in my mind is I got a granddaughter this year. Our little baby girl, Camille, was born in July of 2020. And what a great gift that is. But amidst all the good things, there were certainly loads and loads of distractions. Of course, the number one distraction has been the pandemic. But there have been social and cultural distractions, political distractions, the fires that occurred, racial distractions, hurricanes, just so many different things to keep us distracted. 2020 might be called the year of distraction. Now, 2021 might be better. It might be more distracting. Who knows? I don't know. But in this year, as a church, we've been distracted tremendously. Number one is that we haven't been able to meet since the middle of March. It's fascinating, right? I know for me, when things were restricted the middle of March, a few of us went over to the Habit Burger place, and we're sitting around and just talking about, oh, you know, in a couple of weeks this will be over and we've been back to normal. And now here we are, just a couple of months shy of 1 year. I certainly never saw that coming. I'd have put a lot of money, if I was a betting man, that we would be long ago back to normal. But we're not. Here's where we are. Tremendous distraction. Along with that has come, how do we keep the church together? How do we change our worship style? How do we learn new technologies? How do we, you know, keep people connected? And all these things that we're scrambling and learning and trying to find out how to do things differently. How will things look as we go forward when things are opened up again? What will be the same? What will be different? Lots of different things that have, you know, gone through our mind. Number one for me is just missing you, missing seeing you each Sunday, missing our togetherness, missing the joy that we have of worshiping God together. And you know, when we get distracted, it's easy to turn inward and to think about what am I doing? What am I going to do? How will I figure out my life? And there are some really valuable or valid reasons. You know, there's work issues that a lot of you have. There's financial issues that a lot of you have. There's health issues that a lot of us have. But this tendency to turn inward can keep us from really seeing God's purpose. We are Jesus's people. We are Jesus' people. And God has called us to a purpose. And when we turn inward, we can miss that purpose. And the greatest purpose that God has for his church is echoed in the verses that Sarah read at the outset. The great commission of God to go into all the world and make disciples of all people, teaching them, baptizing them, nurturing them, growing them. This rescue of lost souls. That's God's purpose for each and every one of us. You know, a lot of us have gotten distracted even by church meeting. That some have called this time persecution of the church. I don't often voice my opinions. I don't often think it's a good thing for me as your pastor to opinionate. For this is God's pulpit. It's not my pulpit. It's not my soapbox. But you know, I just want to say this is my opinion. The church is not distracted. The church is not being persecuted. Peter would laugh at our feeling persecuted. Peter, the one who was crucified like Jesus was, but yet upside down, for he didn't feel it worthy to be crucified in the same way that his Lord and Savior was crucified. Or the Apostle Paul, who was stoned and left for dead, who was flogged on multiple occasions, and who ultimately was beheaded for the gospel. He would mock this idea that the church is being persecuted today. Or many of the saints from the past that were fed to lions or lit on fire as Roman candles. Or as Hebrews chapter 11 describes, some of the horrific things that happened to Christian people. Or even in today's world where there are those being martyred. They have a very different idea of what persecution looks like. This is not persecution. We're still able to worship, although it's different. It's not the way we want it to be. It's not the way God intends it to be in a whole setting. But listen, there's opportunity today. There's opportunity. And I believe there's opportunity more now than ever before. And we need to remind ourselves what our purpose is and who we are. Let me tell you this. Who we are, number one, is we are Jesus people. Little Christs or Christians. Acts chapter 11 says that the people were first called Christians then in that first church. Little Christ. It's who we are. We belong to Jesus. We are Jesus people and we are Jesus's people. We belong to him. He bought us with the price of his blood. He redeemed us. We belong to him. We are Jesus people. We bear his name and we are Jesus's people. We belong to him. And therefore, we call ourselves the Lifers, a play on words with our church name, Abundant Life, that we belong to this fellowship, coined from the verse, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus has given us life and life abundantly. That's who we are. We're the Lifers together in this fellowship. But we're also Lifers in the sense of we're in this for life. It consumes our life. And we'll be in it until we see him face to face. You know, this is who we are. And that those names, being Jesus people, being Lifers, comes with a purpose. We ought not to let the distractions of the past year, or even if the distractions get greater in 2021. We can't let those things just turn our attention away from Jesus' true purpose. Similarly to when Peter, as he walked on the water, as his attention got distracted and his eyes turned from Jesus and he began to sink into the waters. We can't get distracted because we're people called to a purpose. Today I want to remind us who we are, what we do, and where we're going in 2021. First of all, let me remind us of our vision. Abundant Life's vision is what I believe the vision of the entire scripture from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, that we should be about the glory of God. Everything is for the glory of God. When we first adopted this as our mission or our vision statement, I began to go through my Bible. I have a purple marker. I chose purple because it's a regal, kind of a royal color. And I began to highlight every time the word glorious, glorified, glorifying, you know, all those derivatives of the word glory throughout my Bible. I want to tell you, almost every page of my Bible can be found a purple mark. Not all, but almost. And I'm still working on it. I haven't gone through all 66 books yet. This year, as I read through my scripture, I'll probably complete that. But glory is everywhere. Everything for the glory of God. And now that's a vision statement for your life. That statement will guide you in everything you do. Everything you do should be predicated by the question, can I give God glory in this? If you can answer yes to that question, you're on the right track. If at all you're a little bit unsettled by that, if you say, can I give God glory in this? And you're thinking, then maybe it ought not to be done, or ought not to be thought, or ought not to be said. See, this is a guiding question in everything we do. It's a focus question. It's a purpose question. It's a life guidance question. Can I give God glory in this? For truly, our life as Jesus people, our purpose as Jesus people, our vision is to give Him glory in everything that we say and do. This should guide us in some of those things that we might, be a little gray in. Well, I don't really know. Well, just ask the question, can I give God glory? If you with integrity can say yes, go. If you're not quite sure, then why? Avoid that and do something different that you can give Him glory with. Well, how do we define that vision? Let's boil it down. That's the 30,000 foot level, everything for the glory of God. That covers everything. Well, what really gives Him glory? What pleases Him in every way? Well, that's our mission. That's more granular in what we do. And our mission statement is this. We are a church family devoted to discipleship. And you're going to hear that word devoted a lot today, because that's who we are as Jesus people. He gave us His life, so we are devoted to Him. We are devoted. We are a church family devoted to discipleship. Here's what Scripture says, Matthew 28. You've already heard it once today. You're going to hear it two or three more times today. Jesus said to them, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's a purpose and a mission statement. That's a discipleship statement. What's a disciple? A disciple is a student who professes to have learned certain principles from another and maintains them under that other's authority. In other words, you realize, you know stuff, God, I don't know. You are bigger than me, more powerful than me, more wise than me. You are the life giver. You are the creator. I'm not. Therefore, I want to learn from you. I want to follow you. I want to grow underneath your guidance and your leadership and your being my father. That's what I want to do. I want to be your disciple. Now, when you're a disciple, two things should happen. Number one, that you should change and start modeling your life after the one you're following. If you're following Him, you should start becoming like Him. That's what Jesus said. Anybody who follows a master will become like his master. Question is, are we becoming like our master? Is the fruit of the Spirit becoming more and more evident? Is our nature and our character becoming more and more and more like Christ as we imitate Him? So number one, we should become more like Him. Number two, we should bring more people to become disciples. Jesus said that. Go into all the world and make disciples. That's His command. If we're following Him and He told us to do this, then that's what we should do. That's our mission, to become like Him and to bring others to become like Him. That gives God glory. That gives Him what I would say the most glory. If anything pleases God, it's not going to church. It's not giving your tithes. It's not serving. If anything brings God glory, even though those things are good, they're wonderful, and we should do them, the one thing that gives Him glory is bringing one of His lost kids back home again. When my kids were little, there were a couple of just petrifying circumstances. When in crowds of people, one of the kids, we'd lose track of them and just the panic that sets in when we couldn't find one of our children. when that person is finally found, oh man, the joy in our hearts. That's the same joy of our Heavenly Father when one person is brought back into relationship with Him. The Bible says the heavens rejoice when that occurs. Well, here's the $1 million question. How do we know we're making progress in this? How do we know we're doing everything for the glory of God? How do we know we are progressing in being a church family devoted to discipleship? Well, when you're in a process, you need markers. You need to know if you're making progress or not. And maybe you, when you were little, or maybe when you had little kids, you did a growth chart on the door frame. As your children grew, you'd put a little mark and a date, and this is how tall they were. And then the next time, and the next time, and the next time. And you can chart their growth. You have markers to see if you're making progress. Or grades in school provide that progress. Did you get an F or did you get an A or somewhere in between? You can see the progress. Or for dieters, the scale tells you whether you're making progress. That's a marker. Or if you're at a job, the annual review or the score of a game. All those things are markers to tell you if you're making progress or not. So in this life with Christ, in this Jesus life on purpose, how do we know we're making progress? So we have markers, four of them, at Abundant Life that I believe are the proper markers in Scripture that lays out what God really has called us to do. Now, a lot of you know these. A lot of you are kind of familiar. A lot of you used to know them, and now you've forgotten them. But we need to know the markers. Otherwise, we don't know if we're making progress. How do we know we're fulfilling the mission that gives God glory? Well, number one is our identity. Our four mission markers, our identity. I am a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. In other words, I am a lifer. Say that with me. I am a lifer. I didn't hear you. I'm a lifer. There you go. I heard you. You have a new identity now. You are a follower of Jesus Christ. You're a disciple of Jesus Christ. John 1:12 says this: yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's the entryway. When you believe on his name, when you proclaim Jesus, he's opened the door for you to walk through. Now you're a disciple. You're a follower of Jesus. You now have a provider, a protector, a counselor, a guide, a father. You're his child now. He's adopted you as his children. I'm so thankful I have a father. I remember when I was little in elementary school, the boys would be together. We'd be bantering and one boy would say, well, my dad could beat up your dad. Well, now you've got a dad who's the creator of the universe. Now you've got a dad who hangs the stars in the sky, who keeps the sun in place, and who keeps the planets revolving around it. Now you've got a dad who's omniscient and omnipresent and omnipotent. He's the dad who has forgiven you and given you a second chance. You have a new identity because you've got a father, a heavenly father. How do you know? How do you develop this new identity? Well, you start out by learning God's word, by reading the Bible. How are you doing on your Bible reading plan this year? It's already January 3rd. Are you already behind? I'm going to read the Bible through this year. Oh, it's January 3rd. I got to catch up. It's only been 3 days. Let's get into his word every day. Number two, I'm devoted to prayer. Are you caught up on the prayer journal, reading the devotional every day and then just bowing before the Lord God, your Father, and talking to Him, getting to know Him? I am devoted to surrendering to God. That's obedience. It's one thing to read the Bible and to pray. It's another thing to actually do what it says and what He says. Those are not suggestions in the Scripture. They're the roadmap for life. Are we obedient to do what he's commanded? And number four bullet, I'm devoted to revealing the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Do I look more and more like my master? Those are identity phrases. It's who we are. Your identity is not just like a name badge that you can peel off whenever you want. You're new now. You're a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a, what? You know it, a new creation. You're a new person, new mind, new attitude, new goals, new thoughts, new aspirations, new motivations, new pursuits. Because you're new. You're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. In identity, one of the problems is we still want to go back to the old. We still want to reach back and hold on to some of those old things. Kind of like the children of Israel when they left Egypt and they were going to the promised land. So often they said, it was better back there. Let's go back. And God judged them severely for that desire to abandon him and want to go back to the old way. You are a new creation. That's identity. That's number one. Say it again. Identity. You're a new creation. Number two is family. Family. You're a lifer identity. We are lifers. Family. We are devoted to one another. See, this life isn't just about me. It's not just about me. It's about us. That we realize that there's a whole bunch of people who have devoted themselves to Jesus Christ. And God, by his grace, has glued us all together and put us into one family. We're all in the same boat. See, the problem, though, is that we don't often like the people in our boat. So I didn't choose them. Jesus, you might have chose them, but I didn't choose them. You don't get to choose your brothers and sisters. God chose us and he put us together. So I don't quite understand this statement that I've heard a lot over the years. I love Jesus. It's the Christians I can't handle. Well, listen. If the church is imperfect, it's only because you're in it. Because we're all imperfect. If you want a perfect church, then you better leave. Because you're the one making it imperfect. I'm the one making it imperfect. We are a bunch of imperfect people put together in order to begin to learn how to be that newly identified with Christ person. It's easy for me to manage my own life. It's when I get put with other people that it gets hard. That's the laboratory of really iron sharpening iron, scraping off those rough edges. That happens within the confines of the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, I'm not just talking about 10100 North Stelling Road in Cupertino. I'm talking about the global church of God. We're a part of this bigger thing that we're involved with. And this church is the only way we can really, really grow. Mark 3, 33-35. Jesus was ministering to someone and Mary, his mother and brothers and sisters showed up while he was ministering. And they said, we need to talk to Jesus. And some came to Jesus and said, oh, you're in trouble now. Your mom's outside. She's ticked. And Jesus made this statement. Who are my mother and my brothers? Whoever does God's will is my mother or my brother, my sister and my mother. Jesus expanded the family to include all of us who follow him and who obey him. What does a family member do? These four bullet points. We're devoted to nurturing healthy relationships, to nurturing that love amongst each other. Number two, we're devoted to meeting the needs of others and bearing each other's needs. When one lifer's in trouble, the other lifers show up. That's what that means. When somebody's hurting, we show up. When somebody has a need, we show up. That's what we do. Because that's what a family devoted to each other does. Number three, we're devoted to restoring relationships with others. Do broken relationships happen? They do. But we're devoted to fixing it. As much as it is up to us to live in peace one with another. We don't leave unresolved issues. But that we go to one another in love and we work it out. Number four, we're devoted to gathering together. That's been the hard part about 2020. That we can't gather together. But we gather together virtually the best we can. We gather together on Zoom groups. And I want to tell you, I've gathered together with our Tuesday night group in common since about March, April. And we've never met one time face to face. We've got people at times this year. We've had people from five different states meeting in our group at one time on a Tuesday night. And you know what? We love each other. It's intimate. It's powerful. We've had people accept Jesus Christ as their Savior over Zoom. We've had miracles happen over Zoom. Can we meet together face to face? Not yet. We think it's a responsible thing to protect ourselves and our community. But God is not, but we're not separated. Listen, maybe this year is the year you take marker number two seriously and join a group in common. In the directory, they're all listed there, and there are three or four dozen of them where you can become involved and you can connect with others. Galatians 3:26 says this, "You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ," and that's all of us together. So marker number one, what? Identity. You're a lifer. Marker number two, family. We are lifers. Marker number three, purpose. We are devoted to making new followers of Christ. In other words, lifers reach out. That's what we do. We got a new identity with a new family, but we don't stop right there and just enjoy our little nice club. No, we reach out to others. We leave the door open. Because aren't you glad we left the door open for you? There's a lot of you that have only been with us a year, 2 years, 3 years. Aren't you glad the door was open for you? Some of you have been around longer, 10 years, 20 years. But listen, there was a day that was your first day. Whether it be a long time ago or whether it be recently. When your first day happened, aren't you glad the door was open to you? I'm glad the door is open for me. See, we reach out. That's what lifers do. Again, Matthew 28, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." That's reach out language. And I'm going to spend a little time right here on this one, because it's important as we head into 2021. In 2021, this is the marker we're going to focus on. If we need to measure our progress as Jesus people, this is the one we need to work on right now. Why? Because here are the bullets. We are devoted to growing the family of God. Number two, we're devoted to mentoring others. Number three, we are devoted to being led by the Holy Spirit to allow God to work through us. Now, we do a pretty good job of mentoring and teaching and developing someone once they've had an identity change. What we're not that great at is that initial birthing process of bringing the brand new into the body of Christ. And I want to tell you this. It's not just maybe an area that Abundant Life Assembly of God needs to work on, but it really is a global church issue, or rather I should say maybe an American church issue. Jesus said this in Mark 1:17. Jesus said, "Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men." That's a statement of fact. If you follow me, this will happen. I'll make you fishers of men. This year, going from a fishing metaphor to a agricultural metaphor that comes out of 2 Corinthians, we're going to adopt the words cultivate, plant, water, harvest. Say those with me, would you? Cultivate, plant, water, harvest. Those four words are going to be drilled into our minds this year. Those are our theme words for 2021. Not some tricky little groovy catchphrase, but just four words. Cultivate, plant, water, harvest. Because this is the process of the purpose. The purpose marker. Number three, the process of bringing somebody in to faith in Jesus Christ. We cultivate by making a friendship with that purpose, with that person. At a time when we're led by the Spirit, we plant the seed of Jesus' name in that person's life. They may or may not accept Jesus right away. So we stay with them and we water that seed so that it might grow and birth forth. And at some time we may be able to harvest that person, to bring them in to the kingdom of God through their acceptance of Jesus Christ. Cultivate, plant, water, harvest. These are powerful words. Why is this so important? Time is passing. We are each day, one day closer to the coming of Jesus Christ. One day closer. And here's what talking about a lot of my own opinion today, but here's another opinion of mine. But I think this is more based on biblical truth. That 2020 and going into 2021 will have prophetic and apocalyptic ramifications. I believe that with all my heart. That at some point in our future, we're going to look back and say, things changed that year. There's just decisions were made. The way we operate in our government changed. The way we monitored people just how we operated in accountability and controls and even freedoms being reduced. We're going to look back and say this year was pivotal. Now more than ever, we can't get distracted by that, but make the most of every opportunity to bring more people into the kingdom of God than ever before. In 2018, George Barna from the Barna Research Group did a survey. And it's a sad thing to think that in that survey, it revealed that less and less and less Christian people feel that they're reaching out to unbelieving people is a priority. There was another survey done in 1993 by the same research group, 25 years between the two surveys. And in 1993, 10% of the people said that evangelism or reaching out to lost people was the responsibility of the church, of the ministry of the church. In 2018, 30% or 29%, a 20% leap, said that it's the responsibility of the church. Fewer people are saying it's my responsibility. More people are saying it's the ministry of the church's responsibility. Let the church do it. I'm not going to do it. In 1993, 89% of Christians said it was important for them to share their faith. In 2018, 64%, a drop of 25%. 64% said it's my responsibility to share my faith. What is happening in the minds of Christians? That they're moving further and further away from the purpose that Jesus Christ gave us in Matthew 28. And for the reason of why the Holy Spirit came and filled us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that we'll receive power to be witnesses. We're moving further and further and further away from that purpose. And the farther we move from that purpose, the more people die in their sin and go to eternal judgment. That does not give God glory. And that does not fulfill the mission that Jesus gave us to fulfill. This year in 2021, marker number 3 is where we're going to spend our time. And it bleeds over into marker number 4, which we'll get to in a minute. But church, we cannot stop and just live in marker 1 and marker 2. Well, I'm changed. Isn't it great? And I've got a family of God. Isn't that great? I'm going to stop right there. No, you can't stop right there and still be a Christian. It's not possible. Because Jesus said, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. So if we're not being fishers of men, then it follows that we're not following him. Because if we follow him, we will. If we're not following him, we won't. Now this 2021 is not the year of the guilt trip. It's not. 2021, however, is the year of rounding out and filling out what the entire gospel really is. The entire gospel isn't, I'm saved and I got wonderful people in my life. Isn't that great? No, that's only half the gospel. That's only two markers. There's a third marker where people who reach out. And there's a fourth marker that it takes sacrifice. Sacrifice. We are devoted to surrendering our lives for God and others. Lifers give. That's what we do. Lifers give. You know what? We give great when it comes to finances. In 2020, we had one of our best giving years ever. In a year where we didn't even meet 75% of the time live. But yet our giving was well above our expenses and well above our budget. We give really, really well. But God is calling us to take even further and different sacrifices. Sacrifices of our time to reach out to unsaved. Sacrifices of what we want to do so that we can befriend someone for the sake of bringing them in to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Lifers give. Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That's our spiritual service to offer ourselves as that living sacrifice. And lifers are devoted to giving their time, to giving their treasures, and to giving their talents. We're great at giving our treasures. But how much do we give our talents and our time to those that need Jesus? Let me just ask you a series of questions. When was the last time you shared your faith with someone? I'm not guilt tripping you. It's just a survey so that we can measure if we're fulfilling the mission which fulfills the vision. When was the last time you thought about sharing your faith? If that even crossed your mind. When was the last time you felt an eternal urgency for people in your life? When was the last time you felt the ache of God's heart for a lost person? Luke chapter 9, 23 to 24 says, Jesus said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me will save it. You want to have real abundant life? You want to be a real Jesus person? Start giving away your life. The best way to give away your life is to give it to somebody who doesn't know him yet and bring him in so that they can have identity change and they can have a family and they can have a purpose. Is it going to take sacrifice? Yeah, it'll take everything you got. But that's what lifers do. That's what Jesus people do. That's our purpose. I don't know what 2021 holds, but I know this. People are more confused now than ever. People are more divided now than ever. People are more guilty now than ever. People are more frustrated and discouraged and depressed now than ever. More people are taking their own life now than ever. More people are more hurt and more angry now than ever. You know what? When there's a hopelessness like that, the door is wide open for the hope of Jesus Christ to step into their life. In the last days, there will be horrible times. In those very same last days, the Bible says, there will be a revival of people coming to Jesus in numbers like the world has never seen. That's the purpose we need to be about in 2021. We're going to be people on purpose. People of marker number three. People of cultivating, planting, watering, and harvesting. It's going to take sacrifice. But how much more sacrifice is it going to take than what Jesus already gave? Jesus went to a cross to show us the way. He's called us to take up our cross daily. Are we willing to be marker three and four people? We don't have an option. I'd like us to take communion together just to solidify that. To just put a stamp on it. That this is what I'm going to do in 2021. I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, which means I glory in my new identity and my new family. But I will be a person of purpose to reach out, to bring people in to the kingdom of God, my loved ones and my friends. And I'm going to do so knowing that it's going to cost. Jesus said, count the cost. If you don't want to pay the price, don't follow me. It's going to take everything you got. But that's what lifers do. Lifers are new creations. Lifers have a new family. Lifers reach out and lifers pay the price. On the night Jesus was betrayed, Jesus took bread and he broke it. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Jesus made the sacrifice. You and I will never make the sacrifice that Jesus made. Oh, there have been people that gave their lives, but there's no one who took the sins of the world on them like Jesus did. Jesus said, my body is broken for you. I do this to model sacrifice, and to give my life as a ransom. I want to thank God before we take this bread and before we take the cup following. And I want us to sing together this one, the last worship song we sang, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. That's a glorifying song. That's a song that should motivate us to mission and to measure the mission by the markers. And in 2021, to reach out, to bring lost souls into His kingdom. Can we sing that chorus together? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Father, we thank You that Your body was broken for us. And now, Lord, we want to follow You as Your disciples. Take up our cross daily and follow You, that we might be fishers of men to bring You glory. We accept the sacrifice. In Your precious name, in the name of Jesus, let's take the bread together. Thank You, Jesus, for Your sacrifice. Thank You, Lord. And Jesus took the cup on that same night. This is the blood of My new covenant. The blood that washes away your sin. The supreme sacrifice, the shedding of the life substance, the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank You for the shedding of Your blood, that great sacrifice for our sake. If You shed Your blood to bring Your children home, we as followers, at the very least, can sacrifice to bring Your children home. We thank You, God, for what You've given us. We thank You, Lord, that You paid the ultimate price. Without You, Jesus, we're lost. And there are still a lot of lost people out there. God, we are Your people on purpose. Today we decide to follow You and to live the life of cultivating, planting, watering, and harvesting. We accept this command by taking this cup in Jesus' name. Let's take the cup together. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Father, as we conclude this first Sunday of 2021, we don't know what this year has in store, but what we do know is that regardless of what happens in our culture, in our nation, in our world, that we are people not of this world. We are of a higher kingdom, and You have given us a purpose. We are Jesus people. And we want to be those who are real Christians, who don't live just half the gospel, but the full gospel. And we reach out for the sake of lost souls to bring your heart joy. That's what you told us to do. And that's what we desire to do in 2021. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, lifers, we love you. Let's live this life in 2021. If you want prayer, you can go onto the website. If you didn't get the text of what the Zoom ID is for the prayer rooms, it's in the sliders on the website homepage, and you can get all the information of where to go. Click on that, and you'll be directed into a breakout room where you can pray with one of our prayer partners immediately after the service. Also, make sure that you get into the devotional every day. You get into your Bible reading plan, and let's do this in 21. Let's be Jesus people on purpose. Our theme verse for this year is different than the Revelation one. We've changed it to the one we've been talking a lot about today, Matthew 28:18-20. Let's read this together as we conclude. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I have commanded you. That's our mandate for all lifers. Let's go do it. God bless you, lifers. Happy New Year.